listening to History for Christian Teens, the podcast where we examine historical people, places, and events through the lens of the Bible, drawing meaningful lessons that we can apply to our own lives as believers. This podcast is designed for middle and high school age students, but mom and dad and everyone else, you're invited to listen in too. This broadcast is brought to you by the Ultimate Homeschool Podcast Network. Welcome back to the History for Christian Teens podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Kevin Niehoff. Thanks for joining us today. On today's episode, we explore the life of a man of such integrity that even a den full of hungry lions couldn't devour him. GotQuestions.org defines integrity in this way. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word translated integrity means the condition of being without blemish, completeness, perfection, sincerity, soundness, uprightness, wholeness. Integrity in the New Testament means honesty and adherence to a pattern of good works. End quote.
Daniel's integrity would serve him well as he dutifully served three kings during the course of his time in Babylon. His strong convictions and courageous faith would, however, land him in a precarious situation, the outcome of which is so well known that it's still talked about in children's books and sermons today. But first, let's go back in time to learn more about what led Daniel to this historic event and into the foreign country in which this story unfolds.
The subject of today's podcast lived around 620 BC to 535 BC. We're not sure exactly when he passed into eternity, but it's estimated that he lived to be at least 85 years old, maybe more. Daniel's name means God is my judge, and he is the author of the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Opening to chapter 1 in the book of Daniel, we begin at the time of the Babylonian king besieged parts of Israel. We read in verses 3 through 6 that around the year 605 BC, Babylonian conquerors were sent to Jerusalem by King Nebuchadnezzar to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family, and the young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah.
After being forcibly taken to Babylon, Daniel, along with three of his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were sent to train to serve in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar. BibleHistory.net, in their article, Historical Evidence for the Book of Daniel, states that, quote, "The fact that Nebuchadnezzar pillaged lands which included Israel during his first year as king is recorded on Babylonian tablets known as the Babylonian Chronicles. They record that kings from the territory known as Hadiland came before him and offered him heavy tribute. Those cities which did not submit to him, he came against and carried its spoils back to Babylon." End quote.
While we're still on the subject of historical evidence of this time, this article goes on to give this tidbit of information. Quote, "Another amazing fact about the book of Daniel is that in 1947, the first of the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered. They contained fragments of all the books of the Old Testament except the book of Esther. Among them is a copy of Daniel."
All right, back to our story now. Daniel and his friends had just been taken captive by the Babylonians and were placed into training to assimilate them into the Babylonian customs. However, as verses 8 through 10 of chapter 1 tells us, Daniel resolved not to defile him with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would have my head because of you."
To reassure the guard who had been appointed over him and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we go on to read in verses 12 through 17. Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds.
After this first demonstration of their faithfulness to the Lord, they entered into the service of King Nebuchadnezzar. Soon after, Daniel has an opportunity to put to work this gift from God to understand visions and dreams. He interprets a dream of Nebuchadnezzar's that no one else has been able to interpret. The king was greatly impressed by Daniel and even affirms Daniel's God by declaring, as we read in Daniel 2 verse 47, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery."
Sometime later, the king asked Daniel to interpret yet another dream. This time the dream comes with a warning to not take credit for that which the Lord has done, which Nebuchadnezzar arrogantly ignores. Because of this, Nebuchadnezzar is driven mad for a while, but eventually recovers and declares in Daniel 4:34, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation."
For 20 years after the death of King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel's ability to understand dreams and visions go largely ignored until the eve of the Babylonian fall to the Medo-Persians. Picking up in Daniel chapter 5, the king is now Belshazzar, who is hosting an extravagant banquet when suddenly the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his legs became weak and his knees were knocking. Verses 5 through 6.
King Belshazzar calls in the fortune tellers, enchanters, and astrologers who were all unable to decipher the meaning of the strange writing. There was no one at all found who could tell the king what it meant. It was then, at the queen's suggestion, saying of Daniel that "there is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God, and in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him." Verse 11.
So Daniel was summoned, and he told the king the meaning of the writing. It was a message that Belshazzar and his kingdom were doomed because he had not humbled himself before the Lord, and it would be divided between the Medes and Persians. The very next day, the city fell, just as Daniel had foretold. Daniel is placed next into the service of Darius, the king of the Medo-Persian Empire, who is now in control and reorganizes the numerous conquered lands into 120 provinces. Daniel is one of three governors, and he again distinguishes himself by his exceptional qualities of trustworthiness and honest conduct, as we read in Daniel chapter 6. However, this causes the other leaders to become jealous of him and seek to find a way to get rid of him.
As we read in verses 7 through 9, the jealous leaders do this by cozying up to King Darius and manipulating him into signing a decree by suggesting the king make a law declaring that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing.
Verses 10 through 13 tells us of Daniel's response. When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asked God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?
The king declared that the law indeed cannot be repealed. After he spoke this, the jealous leaders told Darius that Daniel continued to pray to his God, even after the king signed the decree into law. Daniel 6:16-23 gives the account of what happens next.
So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep.
At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found in him because he had trusted in his God.
In response to this, we read in verses 26 and 27 that King Darius exclaimed, "I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." The Lord rewarded Daniel's integrity and faithfulness by sparing his life in a miraculous way. And by doing so, the one true God is exalted throughout the entire kingdom for all to see. Obviously, Daniel gives us such an incredible example of how to live the kind of life that pleases the Lord. Here are two main takeaways for us today.
Life application number one, live a life of integrity. At the beginning of today's episode, we gave you a definition of integrity as defined by gotquestions.org. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word translated integrity means the condition of being without blemish, completeness, perfection, sincerity, soundness, uprightness, wholeness. Integrity in the New Testament means honesty and adherence to a pattern of good works, end quote. Proverbs 21:3 tells us that to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice.
Daniel demonstrated this many times throughout his life. We see his integrity when he refuses to eat the royal food and wine, which, though it was the finest foods of the day, went against Jewish law. We see how Daniel was trustworthy in his service to the king, even though he was kidnapped and forced to work for him. And Daniel showed great integrity and refusal to compromise his convictions when King Darius issued a decree that everyone must pray to him only. Instead, Daniel went into his room and prayed to the one true God, just as he did every day. But we also see how the Lord blessed his faithfulness by sparing his life in the lion's den. As Psalm 41 verse 12 says, "Because of my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever."
Life application number two, a life of integrity begins with prayer. Just as Daniel immediately went into prayer upon hearing of the king's decree to worship him only, prayer should be our first response to every situation, good or bad, in our lives. Just as it says in Psalm 34:1, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips." When we have sinned and we are in need of forgiveness, or when we are facing troubles of any kind, as Daniel says in chapter 9, verse 18, We do not make request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. 1 John 5:14 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." We too can have the same confidence.
Elizabeth Elliot describes prayer so powerfully when she said, "Prayer lays hold of God's plan and becomes the link between his will and its accomplishment on earth. Amazing things happen, and we are given the privilege of being the channels of the Holy Spirit's prayer," end quote.
Friends, we hope you enjoyed this look into the life of Daniel. We invite you to join us next week when we learn about a woman who overcame her fear in order to save her people from certain destruction.
Got questions, comments, or prayer needs? Email us at historyforchristianteens@gmail.com. And don't forget to connect with us on Facebook and Instagram using the handle History for Christian Teens. Have a blessed week. Thanks for listening in today. If you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe and give us a star rating on your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Facebook too. Links to this and all the other resources mentioned during the podcast today can be found in our show notes at historyforchristianteens.com. We hope you'll join us again next week for another thought-provoking and insightful lesson in History for Christian Teens.